The attacks were concentrated and carefully targeted to minimize casualties among the Libyan people, with whom we have no quarrel. From initial reports, our forces have succeeded in their mission. Several weeks ago in New Orleans, I warned Colonel Gaddafi we would hold his regime accountable for any new terrorist attacks launched against American citizens. More recently, I made it clear we would respond as soon as we determined conclusively who was responsible for such attacks. On April 5th, in West Berlin, a terrorist bomb exploded in a nightclub frequented by American servicemen. Sergeant Kenneth Ford and a young Turkish woman were killed, and 230 others were wounded, among them some 50 American military personnel. This monstrous brutality is but the latest act in Colonel Gaddafi's reign of terror. The evidence is now conclusive that the terrorist bombing of La Belle Discothèque was planned and executed under the direct orders of the Libyan regime.
What do you think this settles the score with Libya, sir? To what extent do you think this settles the score with Libya?
This is the Secretary of State, George Shultz.
It's a question of acting against terrorism, of saying to terrorists that the acts they perpetrate will cost them. If you raise the costs, you do something that should eventually act as a deterrent. And that is the primary objective, to defend ourselves, both in the immediate sense and prospectively.
Secretary, what steps have been taken now in wake of this attack in order to increase the security around United States embassies abroad, especially in the Middle East?
All of our embassies are on alert, of course. We have reports and indications, quite substantial evidence, of Libyan efforts to attack, varying degrees of certainty on the evidence, up to 30 of our embassies. So when I say that Gaddafi's planning is widespread, the evidence is quite clear that it is. Yes, absolutely.
I would also add that the military installations around the world are also on full alert for attacks, terrorist attacks of any kind from any quarter.
If we have such good evidence and if we have such good intelligence about this, particularly what the spokesman and the president said tonight, why were we unable to stop that Berlin attack if we knew one had been ordered the day before?
5 minutes. We knew that they had ordered an attack in Berlin. Berlin's a big place. And we were in the process of trying to track down, and I think in Berlin and in other places, through the intelligence we collected, through the cooperation with other countries and their intelligence, we have been able to abort and stop a number of terrorist acts. And in this case, we're not able to identify the particular disco and get people cleaned out in time.
We were within 15 minutes, according to General Rogers, of getting notifications with respect to this particular installation as to the fact that it was potentially a dangerous area.
Secretaries Shultz and Weinberger are answering questions in the Oval Office in the briefing room of the White House.
In this crisis, are we now also on the alert for any Syrian-sponsored acts of terrorism directed against the United States?
We are on the alert for any acts of terrorism against the United States, and of course, we have a collaborative pattern with other countries, and we're as concerned about terrorism against others as we are about ourselves.
You indicated that we now have evidence that the Libyans were planning terrorist attacks against up to 30 U.S. embassy or diplomatic facilities.
Right.
So do we have any evidence of Syrian planning to attack or launch terrorist attacks on Americans?
I have nothing that I'm prepared to talk about on that score at all. On the other hand, Syria has made the statement that you quoted. To what that will turn out to mean remains to be seen.
Secretary, why do we stand alone among the Allies, with the exception of Margaret Thatcher, apparently? Why did the European community caution us against retaliating if our evidence is so good?
With respect to our allies, we have a variety of opinions, and I would have to say, having talked with a great many of them recently, opinions vary within those governments. And I think, in general, what we see is a shift in the direction of seeing very clearly what Gaddafi is, what he is doing, and gradually, more and more, coming to the conclusion that something needs to be done about it. Today, the European community foreign ministers met. They were not apprised of what we were going to do, although some of those governments were aware of our plans, obviously the British. And they stepped up, in effect, their attitude of condemnation of Libya. They singled Libya out by name. So there is movement. But as you say, they do not yet share our conviction that action of this kind is necessary.
And, was there a Soviet response from the Chargé here or from any other quarter?
They will, other countries will have to speak for themselves, including the Soviet Union.
Mr. Secretary Weinberger, looking at the route followed by the aircraft, is that route evasive action, or is that to avoid flying over the soil of allies that might...
Well, obviously, if we had permission to fly a direct route, we would have not subjected the pilots to quite such a long flight. Given the available routes that we had, we left England and we reached Libya. It would have been, obviously, from an operational point of view, less risk to the pilots and a quicker time than it took to go the 2,800 nautical miles to get in there. When a route of that kind is chosen, you also try to do as much as you can by changes of altitudes and so on to have the maximum evasiveness.
Yeah. 2,800 miles is an awfully long flight.
It is a very long flight. It is.
How many of you had permission for overflights on that other, so on other country's soil? How short?
We would have probably saved close to 1,200 nautical miles. Down and 1,200 back.
What is the range of an F-111?
Well, it's refueled. Its range is virtually unlimited as long as you can refuel it, and they were refueled many times.
Was permission sought, for example, from France to and denied?
Well, I think that's a fair description. You had a follow-up. Yeah.
Other countries as well?
No, that would have been the direct route.
Can you explain, the president cited, for example, that the French assisted in uncovering...
That was an earlier case. They did indeed. Yeah.
If this does not deter Gaddafi and terrorism continues, what then?
That gets us into the hypotheticals, and as you know, I try not to deal with those. The president, I think, made it very clear that he didn't feel that this would necessarily, automatically, spell the end of terrorism. But I think it will send an unmistakable signal, I think it will go very far towards deterring future acts. As the president said, we're prepared to take other action if it does not.
I'd like to follow that up, Secretary. By asking Secretary Shultz, you're the one who said that this was not a ratcheting up or words to that effect, but a response to self-defense. But what if Gaddafi strikes back? Do we not then have to ratchet up our military response?
We will take the action that is wise as we see the situation unfold. What is clear tonight is that the United States will take military action under certain circumstances. That's established. That's very important. Now, the situation will unfold, and we'll see where we go from there.
Secretary Shultz, how much operational damage, though, does this do to Gaddafi and the terrorist operation? I mean, how long does this put him out of business? I guess what I'm asking is it an operational damage or a psychological blow that you're hoping to strike here?
Of course, we don't have any real damage assessment as yet, and we will get that, and we'll know more precisely what happened. But we seek to reduce his capability of carrying on terrorist acts, and I'm sure to some degree that was done. And we also have registered the point with him and with other Libyans that they will pay a price, that there is a cost to engaging in terrorism around the world. So they know that.
Did Mrs. Thatcher give
unqualified support, or did she set limits on what she was prepared
no.
to allow these planes to
Mrs. Go? Thatcher had obviously many questions and concerns, and they were expressed, and the response was made to them, and permission was given to do what was done.
There are additional reports that the French embassy has been hit in Tripoli.
That, I don't think, is could be accurate reports because of the nature of the targets and the nature of the ordnance used.
Did our planes encounter defensive fire? Our planes under fire?
What about the oil installation?
Although the reporters continue to shout questions now, Secretary Shultz and Secretary Weinberger have stepped down from the platform. Now, it should be noted that Secretary Weinberger several times said it was virtually impossible that any of the American bombs could have hit the French embassy. The report that the French embassy was hit comes from the French Foreign Ministry in Paris. A spokesman for the French Foreign Ministry said the embassy was hit, the French embassy in Tripoli was hit, but no one was hurt, and he said that the French Foreign Minister has been informed. Secretary Weinberger twice in the course of this briefing said he thought that was virtually impossible. This gets a certain extra piquancy because of the admission by Secretary Weinberger under questioning that permission had been sought from France for American attack planes from Great Britain to fly across France, the direct route to Tripoli, and that that permission was denied. A reporter phrased it that way, and Secretary Weinberger said, I think that is a correct statement of the facts. So in all, about 18 F-111s from Britain flew to Tripoli, the long route down out to sea, past Portugal, past Spain, through the Pillars of Hercules, into the Mediterranean, along North Africa to Tripoli. Secretary Weinberger said there were about 8 of them, and he says that all, with one exception, have returned, and he said one was unaccounted for, but declined to say there was any evidence that it had been shot down. It's worth noting that Libya says that it shot down 3 American planes, killing all aboard. The secretary says only one is unaccounted for. All the Navy planes, which took off from 2 American carriers in the Mediterranean, said Secretary Weinberger, and there were about 15 of the attack planes, plus tankers and other fighter cover and so forth, secretary said they have all been safely returned. The secretary said, Secretary Shultz said that the Soviet Union was told ahead of time that there was evidence of Libyan terrorism and that the Soviet chargé was informed of the operation while it was in progress. And once again, he was questioned about why, if we had such good information, why we did not prevent the attack which killed an American Army sergeant in the discotheque in Berlin. Secretary Shultz said rather apologetically, we knew they had ordered an attack in Berlin and we were trying to track down exactly where. Secretary Weinberger stepped up to the microphone and said, we were within 15 minutes of knowing that that particular discotheque was an important target. Now, a few other notes around this circumstance. Let us note that Libyan radio says that a number of Gaddafi's family, his relatives, and they are not named, were injured in the attacks. A Libyan diplomat in Rome claims that one of Colonel Gaddafi's many houses was hit in the bombing. Libyan radio also says some foreign nationals were, in Libyan phrase, were put down or knocked down. Doesn't say specifically that they were slain, but it hints at it. There have been reports, and they were confirmed by the two secretaries, that American security has been increased at the White House, on Capitol Hill, and at all U.S. bases and embassies overseas, especially those in the Middle East. Once again, going back even a little farther in time, top congressional leaders were consulted shortly before the action, and that Senator Thurmond said there was time, had the congressional leaders strenuously objected, there was time to abort the action, but Senator Thurmond said not one of the leaders, Republican or Democrat, stood up and spoke against the proposed strike against Libya and the Gaddafi regime there. Now, that about rounds up, plus, of course, the president's speech, which we assume you heard earlier, that about rounds up the Washington end of it. For a slightly broader look, let's switch to Mitchell Krause at CBS News in New York.
George, just a short while ago, George, we have spoken to Alan Pizzi, the CBS News reporter who was on the scene in Tripoli, one of the two Libyan cities that was hit by the U.S. aircraft. And the interview was done with Dan Rather on a special CBS television broadcast. Alan Pizzi spoke with us earlier, immediately after the attack. This is an update on what happened subsequently this evening.
Since that one and only strike ended, there has been nothing else. The city has been virtually blacked out. The port lights have been turned off. We can see the glow from what we think is a soccer stadium, but apart from that, it's very, very quiet. There's no traffic moving to speak of. There was a lot right after the raid, and now there's just not much going on at all. It's very quiet. There's been no other sign of activity. We are locked into the city's main hotel where the foreign press is housed and can't get out in the street, so we can't tell you any more than we can see out the windows, but right now it's very quiet.
Alan, two questions. I'm going to ask you in a moment exactly what you saw and heard earlier this evening when the airstrikes were underway. But first, Libyan radio is being rather widely quoted now. Libyan radio quoted as saying that one of Muammar Gaddafi's houses was hit, and this is the Libyan radio claim that some of his relatives were at least injured. Any information at all on that from where you are?
All we have is the fact that Libyan radio at 3:25 local time, which was about an hour after the strike ended, broke into their regular programming to say that Gaddafi's compound at Bab al-Azizia had been hit. It's a very large compound, 3 acres or more, surrounded by a concrete wall. Inside is Gaddafi's house and his tent, and that's where his family stays, his wife and 7 children. The radio says that several members of his family were injured. They also report that there were a lot of other wounded, and they say among them were mostly foreigners. Inside that compound are a lot of Gaddafi's top advisors' houses, but we don't know if any foreigners are really in there or who they might be, but that is what Libyan radio is saying. The radio also came on just a few minutes ago with a kind of a commentary calling for revenge to be wreaked against the Americans and calling for Arab nations to attack American bases around the Mediterranean. That was a commentary on Libyan radio. We don't know how authoritative it is, but it was...
That's Alan Pizzi. Alan is in Tripoli and, of course, in the middle of the developments of the evening. As he indicated to you, he has limited perspective in terms of being able to leave the hotel. The hotel is locked and the correspondents are being kept on the scene. Libyan radio, since that report, reported that 3 U.S. aircraft that took part in the bombing were shot down. Now, the broadcast on Libyan radio said the Libyans killed the pilots and crew of the aircraft after they were downed. Secretary of Defense Weinberger admitted that one of the F-111 planes, one of the 18 from the United Kingdom that flew over Libya, had not reported in, and there was the presumption that either it developed communications problem or was lost. The F-111 made by General Dynamics has a crew of 2 on normal runs. So basically, to sum up at this hour, an extraordinary evening of rapidly moving developments from the briefing at the White House and the briefing of members of Congress through the address of President Reagan, who documented the information that the U.S. had in advance of the attack on the disco and afterward, that pinned irrefutable evidence to point to the Libyan involvement, straight through the reports we've had from the scene and the indications that this operation was conveyed to the European allies during the day and yesterday by Vernon Walters, and that there was at least an acceptance of the inevitability of an American attack, although not complete agreement or cooperation in that attack. So right now, the president indicated that the U.S. would do it again if necessary. The secretaries of state and defense have briefed us on the involvement in the attack and details to this hour. We still do not have a final word on the disposition of that one F-111 aircraft, nor do we have confirmation of casualties that could involve members of the Gaddafi family in Libya. This has been a CBS News special report. The U.S. strikes back at Libya. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
On the line with us now from Washington in the KNX News Bureau is Les Woodruff. Les, what kind of reaction is bubbling up around the Hill tonight?
Well, I think one of general support so far for the actions taken by the administration. We are beginning to get some of the details, as you've told KNX listeners, about the attack in the area of Gulf of Sidra on both sides of that gulf. We will wait until further reports on light of day as to the amount of damage actually done. And, of course, time will tell whether or not this deters Mr. Gaddafi at all in his terrorist activities. Secretary Shultz and Secretary Weinberger both making it clear that tonight's attack in Libya is designed not only to knock out Gaddafi's ability to continue planned terrorist attacks that they say they have evidence for, but to deter any future activities as well. And that is something that time will only answer, whether or not it did. There's also other questions, too, about what other Arab reaction there'll be, what Syria's reaction is going to be, what may happen in Iran. Remember, we still have six hostages, American hostages, taken by the Islamic Jihad in Lebanon. So there is a whole range of options and things that may be played out on this world stage in the days and weeks ahead.
All right, Les Woodruff, thank you very much. Les reporting from our KNX News Bureau in Washington. There is a report that the French embassy in Tripoli was hit during the bombing raid, but Caspar Weinberger, during his news conference minutes ago, said he thinks that's virtually impossible that that could have taken place.
CBS News, this is Jackie Judd.
Today, we have done what we had to do. If necessary, we shall do it again.
President Reagan informing the nation about a military attack against Libya carried out 3 hours ago in Tripoli, the capital, and in Benghazi.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. President Reagan tonight explained that the U.S. strike against Libya was aimed not at civilian forces, but at the headquarters and assets that support Muammar Gaddafi's terrorist activities. The strike came only after Mr. Reagan was sure that Libya had planned, executed, and praised the April 5th bombing of a West Berlin nightclub in which one American was killed and 50 wounded.
Our evidence is direct, it is precise, it is irrefutable.
Mr. Reagan said he tried quiet diplomacy, public condemnation, and economic sanctions against Libya. Yet Gaddafi continued his, quote, pursuit of terrorism. The president explained why he refused to follow the advice of some to ignore Gaddafi.
For us to ignore, by inaction, the slaughter of American civilians and American soldiers, whether in nightclubs or airline terminals, is simply not in the American tradition. When our citizens are abused or attacked anywhere in the world, on the direct orders of a hostile regime, we will respond so long as I'm in this Oval Office.
President Reagan said tonight, we've done what we had to do. If necessary, we'll do it again. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
U.S. warplanes dispatched from Great Britain and from carriers in the Mediterranean took part in the airstrikes. Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger says all but one plane is accounted for.
All of the Navy planes have returned without casualty. All of the F-111s, with one exception, have been accounted for and are returning. There is one that is not accounted for at this time. They will reach their recover to their home bases somewhere in the neighborhood of about 2 a.m. Eastern time.
Weinberger stressed there is no evidence to suggest that the missing plane was hit by enemy fire. Libya is claiming to have downed three U.S. planes. Five Libyan targets were hit by U.S. planes tonight, three in Tripoli, two in Benghazi across the Gulf of Sidra. The strikes in Tripoli included Gaddafi's family and military compound, a military barracks, and the military side of the city's airport. In Benghazi, a barracks and an oil pumping facility. The French Foreign Ministry says its embassy in Tripoli was hit during the U.S. raid, but that no one was hurt. Asked about that, Defense Secretary Weinberger said such a hit, quote, would be virtually impossible. Within 2 hours of the attack, Libya reacted. It claims three F-111s were downed and the pilots killed. Newsman Dan Revive is monitoring reports from London.
Libyan state radio broadcasting from Tripoli said that three American planes were shot down. In the words of Libyan radio, the savage American invaders carried out a treacherous and barbaric airstrike against the residence of the brother leader of the revolution. That means that the home of Colonel Gaddafi was actually hit. The broadcast goes on, quoting, a number of members of the family of the brother leader, meaning Gaddafi, were injured as a result of this raid. The concentrated American barbaric airstrike is continuing, the broadcast said, against populated and civilian quarters of Tripoli. Libyan state radio also said that a number of civilians had been killed, and it said most of them were foreign nationals. But that might have been the Libyan propaganda machine's way of frightening foreigners.
Dan Revive in London. The Soviet Union's news agency TASS bulletin news of the attack. It reported Tripoli had been subjected to an air raid, but made no further comment. To recap U.S.-Libyan developments, U.S. bombers attacked five targets in Tripoli and in Benghazi. No official casualty report. One American bomber at this time is unaccounted for. President Reagan spoke to the nation about the strike. He said if Colonel Gaddafi counted on America to be passive, he counted wrong. Jackie Judd, CBS News.
This is a CBS News special report. The U.S. strikes back at Libya. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
President Reagan announcing the U.S. strike against Libya, a strike he said that was in self-defense for terrorism against the U.S. citizens at the nightclub in Berlin.
The evidence is now conclusive that the terrorist bombing of La Belle Discothèque was planned and executed under the direct orders of the Libyan regime. On March 25th, more than a week before the attack, orders were sent from Tripoli to the Libyan People's Bureau in East Berlin to conduct a terrorist attack against Americans to cause maximum and indiscriminate casualties. Libya's agents then planted the bomb. On April 4th, the People's Bureau alerted Tripoli that the attack would be carried out the following morning. The next day, they reported back to Tripoli on the great success of their mission.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. President Reagan explained tonight that Americans are slow to anger. However, quiet diplomacy, public condemnations, and economic sanctions, he said, failed to stop Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's terrorist activities. Once he had conclusive evidence that Libya planned and executed the April 5th bombing of the La Belle Club in West Berlin, the president approved tonight's strike.
Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Secretary of State Shultz said the mission was designed to reduce Gaddafi's ability to carry out terrorist acts. He hinted that the Libyan people could and should stop Gaddafi.
We also have registered the point with him and with other Libyans that they will pay a price, that there is a cost.
Although only Great Britain of the United States' European allies supported and aided tonight's action, Mr. Reagan vowed that if necessary, the U.S. will do it again. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
As for details of the actual attack, details involving F-111 jet fighters and other U.S. planes from Navy carriers at sea, we go to Chris Kelly at the Pentagon.
This is Chris Kelly at the Pentagon. It was a massive and well-planned strike. Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger said 18 long-range F-111 bombers flew 2,800 miles from bases in Britain to hit their Libyan targets. The planes had to fly clear around Spain and then east into the Mediterranean because France, he said, refused to allow them to fly over its territory. Weinberger said one of those bombers is unaccounted for tonight, but no indication that it was actually shot down. All of the 15 U.S. Navy attack planes have returned safely to the carriers America and Coral Sea. What the raids accomplished militarily is not known yet. Officials are still awaiting damage assessment reports. Among the intended targets, the planning headquarters for overseas terrorist attacks in Tripoli and an alternative facility in Benghazi. A port training base for Libyan commandos, the military section of the Tripoli airport used to ship subversive materials around the world, according to the Pentagon, and a MiG-25 base that officials say is used for both terrorism and attacks against neighboring Chad. Officials say the attacks were carried out precisely as planned, but with one U.S. plane missing tonight. Chris Kelly, CBS News, the Pentagon.
There are reports from Tripoli Radio that members of the Gaddafi family were wounded in the attack that the Libyans called barbarous and treacherous. The French embassy was also reported hit, that from the French. We'll have more on that later. As for the reaction in Congress and the briefing that Congress received before the attack, Ike Pappas reports from Capitol Hill.
At one point during the White House meeting, well before the American strike, Dole asked the assembled group, does anyone want to call this off? There was no response, indicating, according to Dole, that congressional leaders supported the president's decision to act.
Everyone there said we had to do something to stop terrorism. I don't know of anyone who suggests otherwise. There was no question in my mind the American people are going to give him resounding support.
But Dole's Democratic counterpart, Minority Leader Robert Byrd, said he and others in the room thought that they should have had more notice of the attack as required by the War Powers Act. Byrd said he understood the necessity for secrecy, but he added that the White House should have trusted some of us. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The eye of the storm, and in some cases the point of greatest wind, is Tripoli, Libya, the capital of Gaddafi's Libya. And it is there that Alan Pizzi has been watching the action all evening. He first reported shortly after 7 p.m. Eastern time that American planes, or at least some planes, had attacked targets in Tripoli. Later, as you heard from the Defense Department, word that other cities in Libya were hit, 5 targets in all. And there was also a report that 3 U.S. planes were shot down and the American pilots killed by Libyans on the ground. But that, of course, has not been confirmed, and you heard about the missing F-111 from the Defense Department. But Alan Pizzi has been in the hotel, has been virtually locked in the hotel, but just moments ago he had this report on the change in his situation.
When we got down into that lobby, there was small arms fire outside, a lot of yelling in Arabic, which I didn't understand, and we got the distinct impression that somebody meant us ill, and we weren't about to pop our heads out in the pitch black and find out who it was. So virtually the entire press corps stumbled over each other up the stairs and made our way to various rooms. We have no indication at the moment that we're going anywhere.
It should be pointed out that it is still the middle of the night, going toward morning in Tripoli, with a 7-hour difference between Eastern Standard Time and Tripoli Libya time, so that until daybreak at least, it is likely that the reporters will be kept in the hotel. Pizzi reported earlier that because of the nightfall and the difficulty of hitting targets, it was extremely impossible for reporters on the scene to determine what indeed had been hit, if anything, by the U.S. planes. However, they did report smoke rising from targets in Tripoli, and there have been reports that other targets in Libya were hit. The French embassy was reportedly hit, and Ronnie Hess in Paris has more information on the French reaction.
The Foreign Affairs Ministry confirms that U.S. planes hit and damaged France's embassy in Tripoli, but says there were no victims. So far, there is no further official government reaction to the strike, but it seems France did not let U.S. planes overfly French territory. Sources indicated yesterday that France was against U.S. military intervention in Libya. President François Mitterrand met yesterday with Vernon Walters. Although the substance of their talks was not revealed, Mitterrand reportedly told the American special envoy France's policy to Libya would remain unchanged, although France favors greater international cooperation against terrorism. Ronnie Hess, CBS News, Paris.
There's no international reaction yet, with the exception of a brief report on Moscow radio that the Soviets flashed the news during the night and announced that the Americans had attacked Libya. However, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Benjamin Netanyahu, who has written a book on terrorism called How the West Can Win, had the initial Israeli reaction.
Well, our Israeli policy has always been one that says you have to resist terrorism. You have to be prepared to fight back. And we're encouraged by the American resolve here. It's very important to show the terrorists and regimes like Gaddafi that you won't sit back and take it.
Well, Americans have been concerned that force in this case would begin an inevitable round of counterattack and attack and repression and retaliation.
Well, you're always going to have initial reprisals to the use of force against terrorists, but over the long run, it's the only way to make these killers stop. You know, it's tantamount to the bully. If a bully thinks that he can blackmail, brutalize, kill, and get away with it, there's nothing to stop him.
We also sought out Arab reaction, and for that, we talked with Fuad Adjami, professor of Middle Eastern Relations at Johns Hopkins University.
Don't be too romantic about Muammar al-Qaddafi. He's been in power now for 17 years. If you've been in power for 17 years and governing a society like Libya, you must have a great deal of rationality. Gaddafi is like many heads of states in the region, in the world, and many such figures who parade a great deal of irrationality but are extremely rational people.
So what do you think his response is going to be now?
Well, Gaddafi, I mean, it's been hard to second-guess Gaddafi. For example, when we imposed economic sanctions on Gaddafi, we thought that would do it. It didn't do it. Then we picked a fight with Gaddafi in the Gulf of Sidra 3 weeks ago, and we thought that would do it. And then he pulled this affair in Berlin. So I think Gaddafi would be forced to do something fairly soon as a way of saving face.
So you expect another round of terrorism?
And I think the administration itself expects this because it waged this act. It took this reprisal against Gaddafi with no great delusion, with no great sense that this will be the strike that will end all terrorism.
If Gaddafi himself should become a casualty, should be eliminated, should be killed,
Would this end the Libyan problem?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that probably no tears would be shed for Gaddafi in Libya. I mean, he himself is isolated even with his own country. Much of his own security apparatus is East German, for example. I mean, this is a terribly repressive man. Plus, the Libyan state lately has fallen on hard times. It doesn't have as much money as it did before. Instead of $8 to $10 billion in oil income, it now takes $3 to $4 billion.
Fuad Ajami, a specialist on Middle Eastern affairs at Johns Hopkins University, who said that other Arab states would be likely, some of them at least, to make great propaganda out of the U.S. attack, but in the end be happy to see Gaddafi beaten. And so that ends our coverage at this point of an extraordinary evening that saw an announcement of a U.S. attack on Libya by F-111 jet fighters from Great Britain, and the targets in Benghazi and Tripoli damaged. No assessment exactly of what happened. The Pentagon says there will be more on this, of course, by daybreak in the morning. We will have more information as to whether that F-111 plane reported missing is indeed missing with two crew members aboard. The U.S. forces strike back at Libya. This has been a CBS News special report. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.